RB just gave me permission to preach longer than I usually preach. A gift from heaven. If you're up to date with this sermon series, Bodybuilding, you know that we're talking about building the body of Christ. Especially the part of it that we call covenant fellowship. And so far we have talked about showing acts of mercy. We've focused on being good leaders and being good followers, and last week we talked about unlikely animal friends. We also talked about encouragement. And what you may have noticed about all of these is the inspiration for all of them comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. Here's a reminder of what it says. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body. And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is in contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. That passage contains a list of what we commonly call the seven motivational gifts. And you know what, Judy? I've often thought to myself, this is an arrogant thought, but I've often thought that when I go to heaven, I'd like to ask God why he didn't list the gift of music and playing instruments and singing, because when you play, you have a gift. And that gift speaks to the soul, from your fingers to our soul, to the Lord. And it's a motivational gift for me, and I thank you for it. According to God's word, each and every one of us has been given at least one motivational gift to use in the body of Christ to build the body up. God uses your gift to build this body. And some of you have more than one gift. How does he do that? He catches your attention. You perceive something that some other people maybe miss. And it's based on your motivation, your motivational gift. What you see, what you perceive becomes important to you. Because your spiritual radar is designed so that you perceive needs in the body and you minister to those needs. And when you do, God wants you to use that gift so as to build the body up. It is a little bit like this. When Elizabeth and I go on a trip and we see something new, she sees flowers. She loves flowers. I could walk right past them and never know that they are there. In fact, quite often we will be walking up to some piece of architecture or something and I realize, Elizabeth's not with me. Where is she? She's stopped because she's drinking in the beauty of some flowers. And so I go and we talk about it. And you know what I have discovered over the years? That has increased my radar for flowers. It has encouraged me to be more observant and interested in God's creation of flowers. My radar will never be as sharp as hers when it comes to those flowers. But it has inspired me. It's motivated me. Now, the motivational gifts that God has given to you, that the Holy Spirit has laid upon your life, can not only motivate you, but it can motivate other people to hone their spiritual radar in various ways as well. Elizabeth has inspired me that way. God can inspire you by other people using their spiritual gifts. It helps build the body. Well, today's focus is Romans 12 from verse 8, and I'll paraphrase it. If your gift is in contributing to the needs of others, then give generously. And we're obviously talking about the gift of giving. If you have not already done this, I want you to challenge you in a common way of thinking about money. Do not think about your financial resources. Think about God's financial resources. That is an excellent way to identify someone who has the gift of giving. They recognize that the money that they have in the bank is not theirs. It's God's. And He has entrusted that money to them. They're often very good at maintaining a budget. They're often very good at getting the best price for something. But what they do even better is that they perceive needs which can be helped through giving, sharing God's resources, and they give to that need generously. That act of giving is fulfilling to them, just the act of giving itself. They're not fulfilled by being recognized for that giving. They're simply fulfilled by the act of giving because that is their motivational gift. Someone told me a story about a simple act of giving that blessed him more than it blessed the recipient. And I love this story. It was not in church. It was in a restaurant. He was on a trip. He had never been to this restaurant before, probably never will go there again. And a young waitress became very friendly, was very attentive, and did an excellent job. And he said that led into a nice conversation with the waitress. And she shared things about herself, and among them she shared that she was a single mother. I've never been that. I'm sure that's tough. She was a single mother. She was in the second week of her job as a waitress. And at night, she was attending college to get a degree with the goal of becoming an elementary school teacher. Well, he was very touched by her story. And so when the bill came, he pressed into her hand a 100% tip. And he said, later, he discovered that he could not get her out of his mind. He kept thinking about her all day long. And so, he started praying for her. And the next day, she came into his mind. So, he prayed for her the next day. Had never met, probably will never meet again on this side of heaven. And when I heard that story, I could not help but wonder this. If someday that waitress might pass it on and might give generously to some other need in the same way because she was motivated by that simple act of generosity, perceiving a need and giving to it generously. Now, I suspect you all know this scripture. It's from Acts chapter 4. It begins now in verse 32, and it describes our Christian forefathers. These are the ones who established the first Christian church in Jerusalem. It says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared. They shared. They shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them. There were no needy persons among them. Why? Because they were independently wealthy. Nope, not. Here's what the next verse says. For from time to time, those who owned lands or houses, sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Now, some of you may be squirming right now because you think I'm going to ask you to sell your house and take the money and put it at my feet. Well, I'm not. But on second thought, I wonder what that would feel like. I wonder if we were to witness something like that happen in our midst, how it would humble us, how it would motivate us, how it would unite us, how it would inspire us. With all of the motivational gifts, I believe God places givers among us to challenge us and to inspire all of us to perceive real needs and to give. Now, let's stop right there. Do you think that this is a stewardship sermon? Now, before we answer that question, let's define stewardship. A steward is someone who is in charge of something. God wants you to be in charge of the resources that He has entrusted into your care. So, yes, this is a stewardship sermon in every sense of the word. But most people believe that when a pastor starts giving a stewardship sermon, it is for the purpose of increasing the budget of the church. That is not the case with this sermon. In fact, it has a very different point altogether. Listen again to what Paul said in Romans 12. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. We are talking about perceiving financial need, material need in other people and contributing to their need. That is God's directive to all of us. It may not be in the church. It may be outside of the church. Proverbs 14:21, blessed is he who is kind to the needy. Proverbs 22:9, a generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. Proverbs 19:17, he who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord will reward him for all that he has done. Those are good New Testament, Old Testament examples. And I'm sure that you know these New Testament words from the lips of Jesus Christ, Matthew 25. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Old Testament and New Testament, God says, when you see a need, minister to that need. That's for every believer, all of us. We are to give to the needs. But Paul focuses at a deeper level when he says, some of us are blessed with the motivational gift of giving. If that is you, God not only wants you to perceive the needs and give to the needs, but he expects you to do so, how? Generously. Generously. If you do not, then the Bible says there are consequences. Proverbs 21:13. If a man shuts his ear to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. And back to Matthew 25, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, whenever you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. Yes, this is a stewardship sermon. No, this is not a fundraising sermon. Yes, this is good news to those who obey the word of God. No, this is not good news for those who disobey the word of God. Yes, this is good news for those who obey because God will reward you. It's bad news for those who do not obey because God will withhold from you. That's what the Bible says. Jesus told a compelling story, a parable of a rich man and a beggar by the name of Lazarus. They both died. And Lazarus went to heaven and the rich man went to hell. And this is part of the story, Luke 16, verse 24. So the rich man who was in hell cried out, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I am in agony in this fire. And here is the answer to that request that came from God. God said, son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things while Lazarus received bad things. And now he is comforted here and you are in agony. Talk about motivation. Talk about motivation. Jesus literally tried to scare the hell out of us. And that may be negative motivation, but it's God's word. How about some positive motivation? How about trying this? Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. And oh yes, I gave some of you the gift of giving. Did you exercise your gift? Now hear this, and hear this clearly. You are not saved by your giving. You are not saved by your wealth. You are not saved by the size of any check that you write for anybody, for any reason. You are saved only by the blood of Jesus Christ. But Jesus made it very clear. He said, do not claim my blood and ignore the poor. They're contradictory, he said. Brothers and sisters, it builds the body of Christ when we give. Now, I suppose this would be an ideal time to pass out pledge cards to increase our missions budget so that you could help people in need. I suppose this would be a great time for me to shut up and pass the offering plate right now. But that would be motivation by guilt. That would be manipulation. So, when is the ideal time to ask you to follow God's command to give and to give generously? The answer is this. Any time that God opens your eyes and gives you sight to perceive need. Now here is a promise. God is going to do that to you this week. I've said this before. When you hear God's word, he will often test you. You've heard God's word. I'm promising you, he's going to test you. He's going to put someone in your path who has a need. It could be today. It could be a waitress in the restaurant at lunch. It could be tomorrow. I don't know when it's going to be, but it's going to happen. So pray, God, open my eyes that I may perceive the need that you put in front of me and give me an opportunity to meet that need. If you do not normally see flowers, ask God to open your eyes. If you have the gift to see, ask God to help you to give. How? Generously. Generously. Cheerfully also, but generously. And then here's an invitation to your brothers and sisters. Come back in here next Sunday morning, out there in the foyer before the service, where if you don't get here on time, you miss a wonderful time of fellowship out there. That's really a special place. Come here in the foyer next Sunday morning and share with one another how God put a need in your presence this week and gave you the opportunity to meet that need. Don't do it so that you are glorified. Do it so that the glory goes to Almighty God. That's what it says in His Word. Remember to let your light shine so that you see and give glory to the Lord. Are you willing to do that? Are you shy, too shy to do that? God's not so concerned about how much we give. He's concerned that we do give. You might say, but I don't have any extra money right now. Well, try fasting and take the money you save and give it to somebody who needs some food. And by the way, who said that it has to be money? Meet the needs of those in need. You may have too many sweaters in your closet collecting dust. Your food pantry may be bulging. Your freezers may be bulging with food. Share some of your food. You may have an extra car that you don't really need anymore. Take that car and meet a need. You may have time on your hands, you retirees. You may have time on your hands that you could use to give time to some need. You may have hands that can serve and give to some need. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, brothers and sisters, for God so loved the world that He gave. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is a challenge that many of us resist. This is an opportunity that many of us miss. This is a way to worship You. This is a way to glorify You. And so, Father, I thank You for those who have the motivational gift of meeting the needs of others. And I thank You for helping us to see the flowers more and more. And help us to be generous, loving people to those in need. Help us to reach out and touch. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.